You'll hear the machine and just take a breath and exhale it.
Getting a tattoo is a deeply personal decision. The process can be painful and expensive. Even so, more than 10% of Americans have tattoos. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tattoos have been around for centuries. In some cultures, they've been used as a marker to express social status and nobility. In our culture, for many years, they were pretty much the province of sailors, soldiers, and bikers. But things have changed. This hour, we'll explore the artistry and cultural significance of tattoos with a tattoo artist and an anthropologist. We'll also find out what it's like to get inked. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tattoos are ancient and modern, and this hour we'll explore the rich history of tattooing in human cultures and how this art and ritual has evolved in our culture. But first, we'll find out what getting a tattoo is like. Iowa Public Radio producer Lindsay Moon has been documenting the process of getting her newest tattoo. It's a mermaid about the size of a large water bottle on the inside of her left calf. She has so far spent about 4.5 hours and around $500 getting the art permanently inked on her leg.
I started thinking about getting a tattoo of a mermaid the second time I went scuba diving in the ocean. The feeling of being weightless, surrounded by water, it was amazing and addicting. I could feel the overwhelming power of the ocean, but at the same time, I felt strong and completely in control. I wanted to remember how empowered I was in that moment. But I didn't get serious about actually getting the tattoo until a few months ago, when both of my parents, one shortly after the other, announced they would remarry. I've always felt getting a tattoo is a chance to choose your own scars instead of having them chosen for you. And with all of the changes that were happening, I decided that a little bit of self-inflicted permanence was exactly what I wanted. So I spent the next few weeks asking around about tattoo artists in Iowa City, and I came across the Velvet Lotus Tattoo Shop. That's when I met Michelle.
Hello!
Hello! The tattoo on her business card was an arm sleeve themed around Lewis Carroll's poem Alice in Wonderland, which I love, and she was a huge public radio fan. It only took about 15 minutes for me to decide she was exactly who I had been looking for. I explained to her what I wanted, then we emailed back and forth for about a week before we settled on the final drawing. In spite of all that, when I arrived at the first appointment, I was nervous.
So you kind of know the process a little bit, being that you've been tattooed before?
I know the process, but the tattoos that I have are just, it's just text. So I guess the shading will be really new to me. I've heard that that hurts a lot more than just the line. Is that true? I mean, in your experience, do you know?
I would say 90% of the time, people think the line work is more painful than the shading. So it's the opposite what you've heard.
Okay, that's encouraging. That's definitely encouraging. After hearing that it might not hurt as much as I thought, I felt a little bit better. Michelle also put me at ease with her bedside manner. She methodically washed her hands, then readied the area around her tattoo chair, adjusting the chair and covering it with plastic wrap. She poured ink into individual caps from a larger bottle, and then she adjusted her tattoo machines so that they would operate properly with the voltage coming out of the wall. Coincidentally, she turned on one of my favorite bands as she got started. What is that machine?
This is a power supply. It regulates the voltage coming out of the wall because you don't need, what is it? Not 220, 120, 100, whatever standard US voltage is coming out of the wall. Back in the day, tattoo machines were run off of car batteries.
And then, like anyone who's about to have someone poke ink into their skin with several very long, thick needles, I set down my sound gear.
I'm gonna set this down. I don't think I can hold this when you start.
Okay,
okay so here we go.
Because of the size and detail in my tattoo, I'm getting it completed in 3 sessions. At my second appointment, when I went back to get the color added, I asked a friend to hang on to my equipment and record Michelle at work. She says she tells every client the same thing. The more you tense your muscles, the more painful it's going to be.
So I'm ready if you are. Just go ahead and stick your leg on out. And Lindsay, you're going to feel my hands first. You're going to feel them both as I stretch the skin. You'll hear the machine. And just take a breath and exhale it. We'll start. How's that, okay?
She was right. Tensing my muscles did make it worse. She suggested wiggling the toes on my other foot to help with the pain. During both sessions I've sat with her, we've taken a break halfway through.
I'm just going to finish this starfish here, and then we'll take a quick little break, allowing myself to stretch my back out a little bit and you to get out of that position on your hip. I know sometimes your leg can kind of fall asleep in that position. It also gives me a minute to look farther away instead of so up close. It's easier on my eyes. Are you ready for a break?
Was I ready for a break? Honestly, right then, all I could do was think about my mom. She suggested that this might not be such a good idea, and in that moment, all I wanted to do was call her and say, "You were right, Mom. This was an awful idea, and it hurts like hell." But I would not admit defeat. Or so I thought. After the tattoo was done, I had to remove the bandage and wash it.
So she said wash it with warm, soapy water.
Oh my God, that stinks so bad.
I really don't want to put soap on this.
I'm stalling. I don't want to do this. The healing was hard with it being so cold outside. I wasn't supposed to wear boots or tights for 2 weeks after either appointment. That made shoveling my walk after the most recent cold spell extra unpleasant. My skin is peeling as it heals, and that also grosses me out. But once the art is healed and fully colored, the tattoo will be exactly what I wanted. I mentioned earlier I was getting a tattoo of a mermaid. I should probably add that my tattoo is of a mermaid staring at a full moon looking out over the ocean. I'd like to think that she's propped up on the shoreline, singing into the distance, about all she represents in my life, the good things. In Iowa City, I'm Lindsay Moon, Iowa Public Radio News.
If you go to our website, iowapublicradio.org, you can see a slideshow of the whole process and Lindsay's tattoo. And this hour, we're talking about tattoos in our culture. They're getting to be more and more common all the time. We're going to talk about the cultural significance of this art and this ritual. We also want to hear from you this hour. Do you have a tattoo? When did you get it and why? What is it of? Do you still love it? Let us know. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me in the studio now, I have the artist who's been on that journey with Lindsay Moon, Michelle Balhan. She's the owner and artist at Velvet Lotus Tattoo in Iowa City. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Charity. Nice to be here.
And on the line also, Lars Krutak, tattoo anthropologist. His latest book is Tattoo Traditions of Native North Americans. Hello, Lars.
Hey, Charity. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. And Lars, tattoos are ancient. How long have they been around?
Well, the earliest firm evidence we have of tattooing is actually about 6,000 to 7,000 years old, and it's a tattooed mustache on the upper lip of a man from this pre-Columbian culture called the Chinchoto, South America. And then the next oldest evidence we have seems to be therapeutic, and there are over 60 tattoos found on the body of the European Iceman who was discovered in 1991, a Neolithic Iceman, and a lot of these tattoos line up with classical acupuncture points to relieve like medicinal complaints, rheumatism, and other problems that he probably experienced.
Okay, so maybe this had something to do with the art of acupuncture as well, but adding ink to the process?
Yeah, adding ink to the process. We're not sure if there were medicinal pigments, but there are plenty of indigenous peoples around the world, including North America, where people applied, you know, medicinal plants and herbs into wounds to relieve arthritic complaints. And even charcoal itself has medicinal properties, to tell you the truth.
Do we have an idea of some of the other medicinal ways that tattoos would have been used over the centuries?
Yeah, I mean, typically they were placed just over muscle and joint pain. That was the most common practice that we have. But across Native North America, there were other forms of tattooing that were believed to sort of remedy facial paralysis after a stroke, to increase the flow of mother's milk even. So there's a wide variety of different therapeutic, you know, reasons why people were tattooing.
Now, of course, getting ink injected into your skin in any method is also very visual. Do we know when tattoos started being used in that visual sense?
Yeah, I would say the earliest evidence, I always go back to mummies, typically speaking, when we're talking about, you know, firm evidence. And we have these really fantastic zoomorphic, you know, beautifully executed tattoos from the Pazark people, which were these nomadic Siberian horse breeders that were living in the Siberian steppes 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. And actually in that same region, we have what seems to be the first tattooing tools that were found with sort of mirrors and mixing dishes and other sort of objects used for beautification and adornment. And those tools date to about 1,000 years B.C. So it's pretty interesting, but it's all sort of in that region, Siberia, the earliest evidence of this beautiful visualistic and tattoos like that that are associated with adornment, beautification.
Well, and we heard Michelle's tattooing machine in that piece, and we'll talk more about the technology that she uses in the process. But can you give me an idea of some of the tools that were used?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there are many different techniques used across the centuries, the millennia, if you will. Hand tapping is one technology. Hand poking, so like a, you know, a baton with needles in the end, which actually was used across the Great Plains and even in Iowa, you know, hundreds of years ago. Also, there's a form of sort of skin cut tattooing. So it's a form of scarification where incisions were made with a cutting tool and then the pigment is rubbed, you know, into the wounds. And then across the Arctic, the tradition of skin stitching, sort of skin embroidery was used. So you pick up a fold of skin and you bring a needle that's attached to a sinew thread all the way through the skin, and the entrance and exit wounds leave two little dots. And so these fine stitches are made and these pointillinear tattoos take form. And then over time, the ink spreads under the skin and they become linear over time.
Wow. Well, we'll talk more about some of those methods in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back to talk about the artistry and cultural significance of tattoos in a moment. My guest is Lars Krutak. He's a tattoo anthropologist, and also Michelle Balhan. She's the owner and artist at Velvet Lotus Tattoo in Iowa City. And in that piece we heard earlier, Lindsay Moon mentioned that this is one of her tattoos. Well, another one is the lyrics to this song. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about tattoos. We're talking about the artistry and the cultural significance of tattoos. We are talking history, but we're also going to talk about how they've evolved in our modern culture as well. And we'd love to hear from you. Do you have a tattoo? Do you have more than one? Why did you get it? Why did you get them? What is the significance? What does it mean to you? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me, I have Lars Krutak, tattoo anthropologist. His latest book is Tattoo Traditions of Native North Americans. And Michelle Balhan, she's the owner and artist at Velvet Lotus Tattoo in Iowa City. And Lars, before the break, we were talking about tattooing through history, and you talked about how it was done in a medicinal way in some cultures and also a ceremonial way in other cultures. It seems like with the methods you've been describing, the risk of infection was very real in a lot of these ancient cultures. Why do you think people would have taken that risk, knowing that, of course, this is pre-antibiotics?
Yeah, I mean, after the tattoo application in many of the cultures that I've actually had the, you know, the honor of actually studying and receiving tattoos from them, there's usually medicinal plants that we can't identify to this day. I mean, there's maybe no English equivalent to the names of those plants, and I try to get them, bring them back to have them identified, but we're not always successful. So there's always, you know, some kind of therapeutic aspect to the tattooing or medicinal plants that are applied afterward to promote the healing. But it's true. I mean, oftentimes these tools were used over and over and over again, and not clean. But it seems like either, you know, the power of belief, people were not concerned about the tattoo application and risking infection. And also in many indigenous cultures, the people that were applying the tattoos were either priests or priestesses. So they were religious individuals in their own right, religious practitioners, religious leaders in their community. So that may have had something to do with people not being too concerned about, you know, the possibilities of infection afterwards.
And in your research, you find that in many cultures, women were responsible for the tattoo work.
Yeah, I had someone pose me this question. It was a female tattooist maybe 15 years ago, and she was asking me, you know, where are all the places you've studied tattooing, you know, what's the percentage you think of, you know, were women actually the tattooists? And started thinking about that, and I'm like, wow, most of the places I've been to, it seems like the majority of these cultures, women were the tattoo artists. And I did a little more investigating. And in 2007, I wrote a book called The Tattooing Arts of Tribal Women. And I sort of roughly guesstimate that about 65% of those cultures that tattooed women were the tattoo artists.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, speaking of female tattoo artists, we have one in the studio today, Michelle Balhan. Michelle, I'm wondering, when did you first get interested in tattoos?
Tattooing crossed my path after I graduated college and had the honor to have my path cross with a tattoo artist, Jay Brown, who's now a curator of a tattoo museum in the Northwest. So it was about 1993.
And what, I assume you ended up getting a tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And was that when you got your first tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to get it?
I wanted to get it because I had the honor of hanging out at the tattoo studio for quite a while before I decided to get tattooed. And what I saw was empowered people. I was very nervous graduating college. What's life going to bring me? And it was a transition, and to show that I could get through just about anything.
Is it too personal to ask what it is and where it is?
They were flowers, just in dormant across the small of my back.
Lars, you also have many tattoos. When did you first get interested in tattoos?
As a graduate student, actually, I was at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I didn't have any tattoos at the time. But upon arrival, almost simultaneously, I came across a woman who had chin tattoos, and she was an indigenous woman from a small village, and I started learning more about the custom. I didn't even know it was practiced across the Arctic. This was in the mid-90s, and then I devoted my master's thesis to recording the lives and the history of tattooing practice on this one small island, St. Lawrence Island, Alaska, where I worked with sort of the last generation of women that were receiving those skin stitch tattoos that I was talking about. And then I realized after that, you know, it seems like there are many other places around the world where this tattooing history was not being documented. So I started traveling and recording these stories.
And when did you get your first tattoo?
Oh, yeah, in the late 90s. So I actually took up tattooing a little bit later. I was about 20s, in my upper 20s by the time I received my first one. And since then, now I've had pretty much all the traditional techniques, like the ones I mentioned earlier, from skin stitching to hand tapping, hand poking, scarification tattooing.
All right, but that first tattoo was our traditional method with a tattoo machine, right?
Yeah, exactly, with a tattoo machine. And I rarely get tattoos with machine anymore unless they're relined or something like that. I like to experience the traditional techniques. And a lot of my friends are, you know, they specialize in those techniques.
So with these traditional techniques, what was the first traditional technique that you experienced?
It was hand tapping in 2002. I guess it was in Borneo, and I was working with an indigenous group called the Ibon, who have some really amazing tattooing traditions, you know, almost full body coverage. And I think the worst part was not actually being, you know, hand tapped for 5 hours on my shoulder, which is painful in itself, but we had to do it at night, and the lights were hooked up to a car battery, and every single insect of the jungle was falling off that light and crawling across my body. So thousands of insect legs, I think, was worse for 4 hours than actually being hand tapped with those tools.
Did you question your decision at any point?
No, not at all. It's a beautiful tattoo. It still looks almost brand new after all those years, and I don't question it at all. I look at sort of most of those tattoos as, you know, mementos, you know, bringing back, you know, the memories of and those experiences with those people. And they're each one, you know, each one of those tattoos is really special in its own way to me.
Now, we were talking about the pain of getting a tattoo earlier. Lindsay was sharing a little bit of her feelings about the pain of getting a tattoo. So compare hand tapping to getting a tattoo with a tattoo machine.
Well, it's similar in some sense. It's different. It really comes down to who's applying the tattoos. I mean, hand tapping is rhythmic. It's almost hypnotic. And I find myself falling asleep sometimes when I'm being, hand tapped. But they're machine artists that are really heavy-handed. I mean, I've had some machine tattoos in my early days, and they actually hurt worse, I think, than some of the traditional techniques. It's really sort of comes down to who's applying the tattoos and their expertise, I think.
Well, very interesting. And we want to bring a lot of listeners into the conversation this hour. I know a lot of people have tattoos. A lot of people feel that they're very important to them. We have this tweet from Andrea. I love monkeys, and my grandpa called me a monkey. I got mine in his memory, and I love it. We also have this email from a listener. At my age, the only tattoo is DNR for do not resuscitate. Seriously, they look awful as a person ages, and the ones that get removed never completely get removed. Michelle, how do you feel about how tattoos age? Because a lot of young people get tattoos. Of course, a lot of older people get tattoos as well. And, you know, the small of your back is not going to look exactly the same when you're 70 as it does when you're 23. In fact, no part of your body is going to look the same. So how do you feel about that process?
I think listening to your artist is important when it comes to thinking about how your tattoo is going to age. An artist that's knowledgeable on having a design that's open, that will, it'll age better. A lot of intricate details have a tendency, as Lars was saying earlier, the ink kind of spreads in the old technique of pointillism into a line. Well, even today, the lines will spread a little bit. So listening to an artist who might say that's too much information to put into a design, that lettering won't age well at that size, we need to do it larger. That's what the client should be open to hearing.
And of course, where you would get a tattoo is a very personal decision for a lot of people. But are there certain body parts that you recommend against because of the aging process?
If a younger lady comes in that might have not had children yet but plans to in the future, and they want a tattoo on their stomach, that's a good conversation to have with that client and let them know that that area might spread more than others, even up higher in the ribs, lower backs. Bodybuilders in the bicep area, if you get tattooed at a younger age, 18, and it's in the middle of your deltoid and you age and you buff up, it might not look so centered anymore.
So it's important to think about the future.
Yeah.
Brian is on the line at 866-780-9100. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. And you're also a tattoo artist?
Yes, I'm actually traveling around the country doing guest spots and tattoo parties all around the country. Me and my girlfriend have been doing this since May, and we'll go and we'll work for a weekend doing a tattoo party. And we've been just on the road enjoying people and having a good time.
And what gave you this idea?
Well, you know, I graduated from the Art Institute of Dallas, and I was an illustrator for probably about 8 years, and I was working at a graphics company up in North Dakota, and this guy came. I was painting a mural after work, and he came in and he goes, you know, you'd be really good at tattooing, I think. He goes, you ever thought of tattooing? And I was 27 years old, and I said, no, never thought of it. And he said, well, I've got a shop out here, and he said, you ought to come out and look at it and see what you think. So I went out there, and at the time, he had a judge in the chair, and he was putting a gavel on her butt. You know, so I was like, wow, that's really cool. And so I tried it, and, you know, it was, I didn't really know what I was going to think about it at first, but then, you know, it was like this one girl came in, and she had this nasty rose that this guy had put on her, and he used to beat her up all the time, and he had his initials on her, and she says, you know, every time I look in the mirror, she goes, I see this guy beating me up, and she goes, is there anything you can do with this? And that's where I specialize, is in doing cover-up work. And, you know, just she started, and after it was over with, she started crying. It was a really emotional thing. And then next thing you know, this big guy, Brian, he starts crying. So, you know, it was just wonderful. It was a wonderful feeling to change somebody and to give them that confidence that they need, you know, to go through life and just be the best they can be at whatever they're doing. And that's all I think, eat and breathe. I love doing what I do. And like I said, we've been up in North Dakota. Now we're going all the way back down to Arkansas, where I'm originally from. And I'll probably end up staying down this way when we get down here.
And you're doing these tattoo parties and traveling because, for what reason?
Well, because I've got all these Facebook friends. And I'm just going to give myself a little shout out there. Brian Jr., yes, that's my real name. And I'm on Facebook. You can find me and all my work's there. And, I'm just having a great time doing it. I've had some friends approach me. They live out in the sticks, you know, and they're like, man, if you ever get down to, you know, to Missouri or wherever, you should look me up because, you know, I'd love to have you come and do some work on me. And that's what I do.
Interesting. Brian, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
And the idea of people getting together and having a tattoo party and getting tattoos, I mean, for a lot of people, Lindsay gave us an example of somebody who'd been thinking about a tattoo for a very long time and had been thinking about it, dreaming about it, spent a lot of time looking at the different designs. Michelle, of the people who come to you, are there a lot of people who are spontaneously getting a tattoo? I mean, I think that's kind of the stereotype that we have, that you say, oh, I'm going to get a tattoo and go in and get one. And that's the kind of horror story that a lot of people like to share, too. You will regret this, right? But what percentage of the population of people who come into your studio would you say are doing this spontaneously, or people who've thought it out?
To give you an actual percentage, it might be a little difficult for me. But I would say that most people come in with an idea today. When I first started tattooing in the early 90s, it was a little different. That percentage would have been higher of a more spontaneous client. Not that it doesn't happen today. Someone will come with a friend who's getting a tattoo, and then they're like, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to do one too.
When someone makes a spontaneous decision like that, do you counsel them?
I try to have fun with it. Like, there's nothing wrong with getting tattooed spontaneously, in my opinion.
I think another stereotype that a lot of people have is that people get drunk and go in to get a tattoo. But you do have rules about that, right?
Absolutely. I'll just kind of maybe politely tell you, oh, I'm kind of booked today. Why don't you come back tomorrow?
And do they come back?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes they do. So when we learned a little bit about your process with Lindsay, creating the artwork, emailing back and forth. And if you go to our website, iowapublicradio.org, you can see some of that process, too. We can see some of the artwork that you shared with her and how it morphed and how it looks now on her skin as well. What kind of a process do you go through with most people who come in?
It's a collaboration, a meeting of minds, and a lot of conversation is involved to make that tattoo very unique for that person.
So there's a lot of back and forth. How long would you say it normally takes before you get the artwork to where you want it to be and they want it to be?
It takes as long as it does till I get that big smile on the client's face that says, that's it. So that could be 2 hours. Sometimes somebody will come in and I'll draw something on the spot in half an hour. Sometimes it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The larger the design, the larger it takes.
Right. You also, in your tattoo studio, you have a bucket of tattoo ideas or a hat of tattoo ideas. And if someone will draw one of those tattoos out of the hat and get it tattooed, it only costs them $50. Where did that idea come from?
Actually, I heard a story from a friend about a girl who got a teddy bear tattoo on her leg while she was vacationing. And that was the deal. She it was a souvenir tattoo, so it worked out perfect. It's a little special thing for the client that is spontaneous, yeah, or spontaneous, and it's fun for me because they're little designs that I kind of would like to tattoo.
Right. So you put the ones in there that you're hoping someone will let you do at some point. And when we get back from our break, I want to ask you about your experience the first time you actually did a tattoo on someone, because I think that that must be one of the most nerve-wracking things a tattoo artist can ever do, is permanently ink someone for the very first time. So we'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk more with Lars Krutak, tattoo anthropologist. His latest book is Tattoo Traditions of Native North Americans. Michelle Balhan is here. She's owner and artist at Velvet Lotus Tattoo in Iowa City. We also want to hear from you. Do you have experience with tattoos? Do you have one you love? Do you have one you regret? Share your story, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
You run sweet from the earth to the moon. Nobody's gonna tell you what you gotta do. In the summer when it rains in the air, you're a tattoo girl with a world on her shoulder. A tattoo girl with a...
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about tattooing. We've been talking about the history of tattooing. We're also talking about the place in our culture today, and that's where you come in. If you have a tattoo or tattoos, we'd love to hear your story. Why did you get it or them? What do they mean to you? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tom is on the line next. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi, and you have a number of tattoos, right?
Yeah, I have about 8 tattoos.
And tell me about some of them.
Well, I guess the reason I get mine is they have something that means something to me, and I'm also an artist myself, and I like the looks of them as well. And in fact, my last one I got was from Michelle.
What was it of?
It was of a palm tree and a bike gear, and it had initials of a friend I lost last year, who was a good biking friend, and we always went on rag ride together.
Oh, wow. So when you see your tattoos, what do they make you think? What do you feel when you see them?
I guess like that one, especially, it's on the back of my calf, and which went on a bike ride recently, and it just brings back good memories, and I like the looks of it, and it's fun to, people ask about it, and it's fun to be able to share stories of my good friend, and I guess see why we got it and what the significance of the tree as well as the gear mean to me, and I guess just to tell stories about them and just remember them.
With 8 tattoos total, are there any you regret?
Well, the first one.
Tell me why.
Well, it was the old what was in style at the time, and didn't get it from a good tattoo artist, actually, was another reason. And that would be something I'd definitely like to share. Just research and get a good tattoo. A lot of people are like, oh, your tattoos are so good. Well, you know, you get what you pay for. You got to go to someone that knows what they're doing. And like Michelle talks about, putting on a place where it's going to look good.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Thanks for the topic and your show.
Thanks a lot. And Lars, we've talked about some of the roles that tattoos played historically, and they were a sign of nobility and social class, used medicinally, or a warrior would earn a tattoo. A lot of different things went into play in a lot of different cultures. In our culture, at some point, they became somewhat stigmatized and really only belonged to subcultures. Where do you think that stigma developed?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pinpoint that, but I think some of it has to do with sort of religious beliefs, Christian ideals, marking the body. We're given a perfect body in the eyes of God, so by marking it permanently sort of defiles it, makes it imperfect, and I think a lot of those early associations of stigmatization start within that, and even the indigenous people I speak with today and work with in different countries, missionaries that have been working in their regions for many years or more recently, basically sort of want them to stop the practice because it is sort of forbidden marks in their religious doctrines. And so they sort of compel them to stop this practice. And I think it has a lot to do with that.
In our culture, they have also now become far more common. I mean, there was a time when if you thought about tattoos, they were really the province of bikers and people who were in the military, sailors. Those are some of the stereotypes. And over the years, more and more people have been getting tattoos. And now I'm often surprised when I see a friend with a tattoo and I think, huh, I never would have thought she would have a tattoo, or I never would have thought he would have a tattoo. How has that evolved in our culture now? What do you think they stand for today?
Well, I mean, I think the popularity really kind of goes hand in hand with people in the public sphere that, began getting tattoos. So talking about rock stars, musicians, sports figures, sort of made it more acceptable, tattooing in the public sphere. And I think a lot of people gravitate to that. I'm going to give another example from the indigenous world. I mean, some of the places I work in, tattooing will probably vanish in the next generation with the last generation of tattooed elders. But generally, the youth in all of those cultures are very interested in tattooing, but they want to get the modern, Western, sort of rock star tattoos that have a lot of color, that are not monochromatic like most indigenous tattoos are, bluish black. And they see it as something as modern and progressive, but they don't necessarily gravitate back to those old designs. It's interesting to see how the globalization of tattoos has really sort of propelled it. And that's why I think it's so popular today for a lot of those reasons I just spoke about.
Well, Michelle, how long have you been tattooing?
Just about 19 years.
19 years. All right. And I know that you spent time working in Des Moines before you opened up your own tattoo parlor. And I'm curious, just in that last two decades, how you've seen the trends changed. How has the population that's coming in to get artwork done by you shifted?
I think it's more in design choice, if anything, that I've seen a shift. Back in the early 90s, when I first started getting tattooed, there was a lot of studios that had designs that were already on the walls for the client to choose from. Today, especially with the internet and people able to do their own research that way, and tattoos becoming a way to express something very meaningful to a person, that's become more popular. And in order to be more meaningful to the person, the design process is much more customized now, and that's been the big change.
For a while, it seems like we were seeing a lot of Chinese characters.
Yes.
And that seems to have passed somewhat. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that has. It was a bit of a trend. And there's been a few that kind of come and go.
And of course, we've also seen people, the internet allows us to see tattoo failures as well as beautiful tattoo successes. There were a lot of people joking about those Chinese characters, saying, people getting them, they have no idea of knowing what they really mean. Were you asked to do a lot of those?
Yeah. I actually have some Chinese characters,
okay,
too.
What kind of research did you put into making sure that you were tattooing the character that meant what
because I'm guessing that you're not fluent in Chinese. But
I'm not.
All right. That you were tattooing the character that meant what the person really wanted it to mean.
What I had learned is not to put different characters together, just like our sentence structure is different from a Spanish sentence structure. Mm-hmm. If I put two Chinese characters together, it might change the meaning. So I would just educate the client in that. And I had a dictionary, basically, that would give you a one word translation.
What are some of the other trends you've seen kind of come and go?
Armbands, the barbed wire armband, barbed wire or tribal armbands as well, and koi fish, I think will always stay popular, but that was something that I kind of go through cycles where I'll be doing a lot of them and then it'll kind of fade to the wayside and then come back.
How about text?
Text is what's currently
okay, text
popular.
Is the big
so
thing
it's not
right
a
tra- now.
A something that I've seen come and gone, but yeah, text, infinity signs, those are popular right now.
Well, when I look at Lindsay's tattoo and I've seen other photos of tattoos in a similar style, it almost looks like a watercolor painting. It's very beautiful and the colors are extremely vibrant. And that seems to me to be different from what we used to see. Are there new technologies that are allowing you to do things that you couldn't have done before?
Definitely. There's more variety in equipment and needle configurations. Those have, become more refined and allow the artist to get more of a fine art out of tattooing.
Let's go back to the phones. JD is on the line in LeClaire. Hi, JD.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
First of all, thanks for the show. This is great. You guys are all really interesting. So thanks for that. I wanted to talk to Michelle a little bit. We just moved to the Quad City area. My wife and I, you know, we have a few tattoos each. And the one under my arm, you guys were just talking about text. And it's actually just looks like somebody wrote under my arm in Sharpie in red. And it just says, "You're so cool." I don't know if you guys have seen the movie True Romance.
Definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, just kind of in that movie, in that scene, and the usage of that is kind of a tribute, you know, about her, you know, and her love and things like that. And so I got that very simply under my left bicep. And you guys were talking earlier about being stigmatized and things like that. And all of my tattoos are kind of unseen, you know, under my upper arms and on my legs and whatnot. But It's funny because every once in a while you can just see the edge of the L in the word cool poke out of my sleeve and people will say, "What's that on your arm?" You know, and you pull your sleeve up and they're like, "Oh," you know, and it's a kind of a nice way for me to tribute my wife. And I see it all the time and, you know, just brings warm memories. I've got my son's tattooed, his handprint tattooed on my left arm that we printed when he was a baby. And your show has kind of brought me to an answer. You know, we're close enough to Iowa City that I kind of want to look Michelle up afterwards and bring my wife to you guys and come see and get some tattoos done.
That's wonderful. I'd love to see you.
Well, JD,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing your experiences with us today. The idea of a tattoo commemorating the birth of a child, I think that's a trend that we are experiencing right now. You've also had family groups more often coming in and getting a tattoo, the same tattoo or a theme among the family?
Yeah, sometimes they're matching, sometimes they're not, but there'll be little tattoo parties at the studio where people will come in a group, all get tattooed together, and it's a wonderful bonding time for families, yes, friends.
The Lars, we were talking earlier about the stigma connected to tattoos, and more people are getting them. They're more and more common. Certainly, if you go to a swimming pool or a water park, you're going to see a lot of tattoos. Mm-hmm. But also, there have been studies that show that people who have tattoos are less likely to get promoted if they have a colleague at the same level who doesn't have a visible tattoo, that kind of thing. How do you see the stigma shifting in our culture today?
Well, I think as more professionals receive tattoos, especially larger tattoos like sleeves,
I think they're becoming more accepted. I mean, just in academia alone, I mean, when I was a graduate student 20 years ago, there were really no course offerings in the history of body art or tattooing. There was no components in textbooks, and now you'll see sections, book chapters, and textbooks that have sections on the history of body ornament, and there are even courses. There's been courses probably over the last decade that are being taught on the history of body art. So I think as more younger academics, professors come up in the ranks that are tattooed, I think a lot of this will change in the coming generations, at least in academia. I mean, there are certain sort of Christian faiths that they reaffirm their faiths through tattooing. To tell you the truth, there's one family that's in Jerusalem. They're Coptic Christians, and they've been tattooing pilgrims that come to the Holy Land for over 700 years with different configurations of crosses or scenes from the Bible. And they've been doing that for 700 years. So in certain segments of the society, you know, it's interesting to see sort of the diversity of, you know, how tattooing is being deployed, you know, to do different things.
It is fascinating. Jeff is on the line next from Fort Dodge. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to share?
Well, I've got four, and pretty much for the same reason I think that Lars was just talking about. You find things that mean a lot to you. I play in a band, so I've got none of them are visible with the short sleeve shirt or shorts, but I've got the beetle tattooed on my shoulder. I've got the crucifixion on my upper right shoulder blade because my faith is important to me. I've got a tattoo on my chest that two friends, one who's passed away, they're similar. And then I've got a lot of ancient woodworking tools on my hip because I'd like to do a lot of woodworking. So you find things that are really important to you. There's a lot of really bad tattoos out there because people go get a tattoo to go get a tattoo. But if you think about them and get the things that you like that mean a lot to you, I think that's when you should go get a tattoo because you're going to live with it for a long time.
Jeff, thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot. Michelle, how many tattoos do you have?
Oh, my goodness. I can't count them.
Really?
Over 200 hours.
Wow. Do you have any regrets about any of them?
No. Mm-mm. I feel like my tattoos, even if it's something that maybe I don't find as visually attractive or something like that, I did what I wanted when I wanted.
Do you have a favorite?
Usually the latest one I got is my favorite for a while.
What is the latest one you got?
I had my hand tattooed. It's a geisha skull.
All right. And how many tattoos do you have, Lars?
It's really hard to count for me, too. I mean, they're all individually sort of important to me because, like I said earlier, they, you know, remind me of these incredible experiences I've had with people and the artists and the places that I've traveled to over my lifetime. So, yeah, I really kind of lost count.
You have been doing a great deal of work over the years learning about tattoos and sharing what you've learned about tattoos in different cultures with people. What would you like people to know? I mean, as we've talked about, we have some cultural stereotypes. We have some stigma about tattoos in our culture. What would you like everyone to know about tattoos?
I mean, I think since the beginning, tattoos have been really firmly anchored with people's identity, you know, to commemorate, you know, different important life events, you know, rites of passage, commemorate the losses of loved ones, the birth of new loved ones. Mm-hmm. And they've been a visual language sort of expressing all these different things in people's cultures since time began. And I think we should, you know, not lose sight of that. It's really part of our artistic and cultural heritage that needs to continue to be documented so that we can preserve it for future generations. And it's something that kind of links us all together as one big tattooed family for those of us who wear these tattoos as well.
And do you feel a connection when you see someone else with a tattoo?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, people are like, wow, look at that. You know, for some of my friends that don't have tattoos, like, wow, that guy's covered. He looks really scary. But then half the time, you go talk to these people. They're really, really compassionate about their tattoos. They'll open up to you. Typically very humble, and you know, there's always an incredible story behind someone's tattoos if you just take the time to ask them.
Lars, thank you so much for talking with us today.
All right, no problem. Thank you so much, Charity.
Lars Krutak is a tattoo anthropologist. His latest book is Tattoo Traditions of Native North Americans. And Michelle, thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
Michelle Belhan is the owner and artist at Velvet Lotus Tattoo in Iowa City. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
That folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. When a robe is unfurled.